Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Today we're going to be talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how the Spirit was poured out on others besides or in addition to the Day of Pentecost. And we'll look at that here in just a minute. But first, I want to give you an update what's going on over here in Africa. And we just completed the crusade in Sabatia 2 weeks ago, and we're still hearing testimonies from people that have been set free, delivered, and healed, and saved at that crusade. Many, many great things happened. I can't go into all the details here on the radio, but just to say it was a powerful crusade, and we had about 300 to 400 salvation decisions, and we're still hearing testimonies about people that got delivered and saved. And actually, the crusade ground where we had the crusade was tied up in legal battles, tied up in court issues before, and by the grace of God, we were able to get that. It was about a 2-acre field. We were able to get that field right in the middle of town. It was a tarmac field right in the middle of town, and now because of the crusade, that field has been opened up, and there are other activities taking place there, and the gates have been opened on it, and so even the place itself, the physical place, has been broken loose from the bondage that it was in. And so we're very thankful for that crusade. We're in the process of building a kitchen out at our church compound. We're building a kitchen on the backside of our store building. And so we're going to set up a little roadside cafe diner there, and people will be able to stop in, get tea, coffee, and pastries, and some simple meals. And so we want to have a place where we can testify to people, witness to people, counsel with people. And this is a first for Makunda Village. There's nothing like it. It's very barren, you might say, commercially, very barren up there. And so now we have a postal mill, which is a maize grinding mill. We have a store, and now we're going to set up a little roadside cafe restaurant. And so that is a great project that you would want to get involved in. And also down at the children's home, we have a crew down there that is putting in a biogas project for us. We have a big septic system, a septic drainage system already in place down there, but we're going to convert it to biogas, run a line into the kitchen at the children's home, and be able to cook there inside on gas and not use so much firewood and charcoal. So this is also a project that we've been praying about for several years, and it's coming to fruition. And so we want to have your support and encouragement and prayers for these projects going on out there at Makunda Village. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. If you were with us last week, you know we talked about the Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind at the day of Pentecost, and this was a fulfillment of prophecy spoken by the prophet Joel back in Joel 2:28, 800 years or so before Jesus walked this earth. The prophet Joel prophesied and said in the latter days that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all mankind, and that happened on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus was crucified and resurrected. 50 days later came the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, and the 120 who were in the upper room and who had waited in Jerusalem for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they were rewarded and blessed and baptized with the Holy Spirit, just as the prophet Joel prophesied many, many years before the event took place. And so Peter then stood up, because the people were speaking in tongues, they'd received the fire of the Holy Spirit. And Peter then stood up and said, no, these people aren't drunk. They're acting a bit strange in the natural compared to what they were before, but they're not drunk. They have received the Holy Spirit just as the prophet Joel spoke. And so Peter explained to the crowd, there was many, many people there from many nations. He explained to the crowd what was happening was the fulfillment of prophecy and the Holy Spirit. Well, if you have your Bible there, turn it to Acts chapter 8. We're going to take up in verse 14. And it says here, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Well, that's real interesting that they were in Samaria, or going to Samaria, because Samaria was one of the places when Jesus spoke to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth, or to the end of the earth. And so Samaria was one of the places mentioned. And so the Holy Spirit was poured out in Jerusalem. So that became the first place of witness. Then it was spread to other places in Judea by the disciples. And now here we are in Samaria. And this is the place then that the people have heard about God, they have responded, and they have been baptized, but only in the name of Jesus, or in other words, in John's baptism. They received the baptism of John for the forgiveness or the remission of sins, but they haven't yet received the Holy Spirit. And so Peter and John are sent to these people in Samaria. And it says here in verse 15, Peter and John, when they had come down, prayed for them in Samaria that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he, the Holy Spirit, had not fallen on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so when they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And so this is a very poignant example of the Holy Spirit then being given to people who had already received the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is an example of what John the Baptist spoke in Matthew 3:11. He says, I indeed baptize you with water for repentance, for the remission of your sins, but there's one coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so this Holy Spirit then is a separate baptism than the baptism of water. And that what we are seeing here in Acts chapter 8 is that the Holy Spirit baptism then is given to the disciples to then give to the people in Samaria, or even to the remotest parts of the earth. And the disciples did go to the remotest parts of the earth. Some of them went to India, some to Asia, some to Africa. And so this Holy Spirit baptism was given to the people in Samaria when Peter and John laid their hands upon them. Now, this isn't necessarily a doctrinal pillar that you have to have somebody lay hands on you that has the Holy Spirit. It's not necessary that somebody lay hands on you. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit just by being in a place of worship, just by being a place where there's other believers that have the Holy Spirit. You can even receive it by yourself. If you're worshiping at home and you have worship music on and you're in reverence to the Lord and you're in submission to the Lord and the glory of the Lord fills your house, fills your room, whatever, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So don't think you have to go find somebody to lay hands on you. It is not necessary, but it is possible if they do lay hands on you that you can receive the Holy Spirit. And so when we have crusades, we pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit, and we pray for people to receive salvation, two separate altar calls or two separate prayers for that. And so people receive the salvation by confessing and repenting of their sins. And then we get their name, their contact number, get a way to contact them, follow up on that with the pastors calling on them, get them a Bible in their hands so they can study and start to know about the Word of God, start to know about Scripture. And then we also pray for them for healing, and we pray for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a separate baptism. Well, let's go on to Acts chapter 10, and this is a very interesting chapter. It's loaded with dreams and visions, and it's a very powerful chapter, and it is a chapter that explains how the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or how the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles, which that would be most of us listening to this broadcast, we would be considered Gentiles. Anybody that is a non-Jew would be considered a Gentile. And so this is a story about a man named Cornelius, who was a centurion. In other words, he was a soldier, a Roman soldier, who was stationed in Israel. Now, in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. And he was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, and he gave alms, or he gave offerings generously to the people, and prayed to God always. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And anyway, I'm not going to read the whole scripture. You can read that, Acts chapter 10. But God set up a meeting between Cornelius and the apostle Peter for Cornelius and his family to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is very unusual because Cornelius was not a Jew. He wasn't even a member of anything in Israel, no political party, no family ties, no reason to be in Israel other than the fact that he was a soldier with the Roman army, the Italian cohort, the Italian regiment. And so he is stationed in Israel. But God has seen his heart because he loved God. It says in verse 2, he was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. And so God had seen this man. He had seen his heart. He had picked this man out. He had picked him off the radar. And he has a plan for this man to be the first Gentile to receive the Holy Spirit. And so this is an amazing story. Well, Peter comes into the story later in this chapter because Peter is on his rooftop and he is praying, and he is, the next day it says Peter went up to pray. This is verse 9, Acts chapter 10. It says Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. And while they made the food ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Well, Peter was a devout Jew, a fisherman from Nazareth, Galilee, and so he said, I've never eaten anything unclean. And anyway, this sheet came down with all these unclean animals in it, and a voice spoke to him a second time and said, What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Well, it's interesting that this dream, this vision that Peter had when he was in the trance, it really wasn't about food at all, although that was one of the messages conveyed. But mostly it was about God was trying to tell Peter that he was going to bring the Gentiles into the kingdom of God, and what the Jews considered unclean, what the Jews considered common with these Gentile peoples. They had no dealings with them, and they weren't intimate with them in any way. And so what God is showing Peter is that he was going to bring the Gentiles in to receive the Holy Spirit, and the two then would become one new man. The two would become one new kingdom, the kingdom of God. And beloved, this is a message for us. No matter where you are, you may be an outcast in your family, you may be the black sheep of the family, you may be in the U.S. or some other nation, and you're an alien in that nation, you're a foreigner, a visitor, just like Cornelius. And so this may be the reason that this message is coming to you. God wants you in the kingdom. Doesn't matter your pedigree, doesn't matter your social status, doesn't matter your income rank. It doesn't matter if you're listening in India and you're the lowest caste in India, God wants you in His kingdom, and you are welcome in His kingdom. And it doesn't matter what your family ties or your status is, you are welcome in the kingdom of God. And God will make a way for you to come in. If you're listening to me today from wherever you're listening in the world, God will make a way for you to come in, and He will bless you, and you will receive the very same blessing that His chosen people, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, you will receive the very same blessing that they have received, and you will be part of the one new man, the kingdom of God, to bring glory and honor to Jehovah God in your life. Well, there's a series of communications both to Peter and to Cornelius. It goes on throughout this chapter, and Peter is instructed by some people that come to visit him, go to Cornelius's house. Cornelius is instructed that there's some people coming to you, and so we'll take this up in verse 42 here. Peter now is at the house of Cornelius. He has been commanded to go there to preach the gospel, and he is there now in verse 42, and Peter is telling these people in Cornelius' house, primarily his family, he's saying, "And God commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To Him all the prophets witness that through His name," now he's talking about Jesus, "to Him all the prophets witness that through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sins." And so this is the main salvation message. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ will receive remission of sins. Whoever believes in Him, Romans 10:10 says, "With your heart you believe or you receive, resulting in righteousness, and with your mouth you confess, resulting in salvation, and all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so this is the salvation message. It's for every person, the men servants, the maid servants, the lowly, the high, the kings, whoever receives this message, receives Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus covers them, and their sins are remitted or rolled back. And so this is the salvation message. John 3:16, I'm sure you all know it. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so if you believe in Jesus and you confess His name, you repent, you will receive the remission or the rolling back or the covering of your sins, and follow it up with Christian baptism, which is an expression to the world that this is what you believe. It is a testimony to the world. This is what you believe. And so this is the salvation message. Well, in verse 44, then here comes the Holy Spirit. "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision," that is the Jewish believers, that's the circumcision, "and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as had come with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also." So here's what's happening. Peter is preaching. They're looking at these Gentiles. His house is full of Cornelius' family and Cornelius, and they're receiving this message. They're believing this message. The glory of God is there, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happens just that fast. Right there, Cornelius and his family are receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This comes before they made any kind of confession of faith. This comes before they were water baptized. They have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it is evidenced by the fact that they start to speak in tongues. And beloved, I don't know what you know about tongues. Many people don't know much, but they have a lot of opinions about it. But tongues are a gift of the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of that is tongues in most cases. And so I believe this is God's will for every believer who receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is doctrinal bedrock. This is the way it happens in the Bible. And so reserve your comments, reserve your judgments about tongues until you know more about it, until you have a greater understanding. And if you do that, then you'll be open to receive everything that God has for you. And just as these Gentiles receive, we'll take it up again here in verse 45. And those of the circumcision, the Jewish believers who believed, were astonished, as many as had come with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. There it is. And then people answered, "Can anybody forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. And so after they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then Peter says it's time for them to be water baptized. There's nothing to forbid them to receive water baptism. And so they took them to the river then and baptized them in the name of the Lord. They baptized them in water, and now they were fully baptized with the Holy Spirit and with water. And so they started their Christian walk. And so that is an example for us. That is a teaching for us. That's the way it happened for the Gentiles. And if you're a Gentile today, that's the way it should happen for you. If you're a Gentile today and you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord, then confess him, repent, find somebody to baptize you, and receive the remission of your sins. Receive that water baptism for the rolling back of your sins, and also receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you can have the power to go and witness that Jesus wants you to have. Well, one other scripture we're going to look at, Acts chapter 19. There's a group of men over in Corinth, and Paul comes upon them, Acts chapter 19, verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And so they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And so these people also had received John's baptism, the baptism of water, for the remission of sins. And then Paul starts to explain to them about the Holy Spirit that he had been baptized with, and he explains to them there's another baptism that you need to receive, and he started to explain that to him. And so in verse 3, "And he said to them, 'Into what were you baptized?' And they said, 'Into John's baptism.' And then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.' And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied." And so these people had received John's baptism, which was a baptism for repentance. And so Paul took them and he baptized them in the name of Jesus, and then he prayed for them, and he laid his hands on them, and he prayed for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They started to speak in tongues, just as Cornelius and his family had, just as Peter and the apostles had back on the day of Pentecost. And so the evidence of them receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence to the world, was them speaking in tongues. And so this is doctrinal bedrock. And again, be open to what the Lord is trying to show you today. Be open to what the Lord is speaking to you today. There are gifts that come with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll speak about that next week. There are gifts that come. And beloved, don't close yourself off to the gifts that God has for you. Don't get a hard mindset about the gifts that God has for you. The gifts are given to give us power. The gifts are given, and they're very valuable simply because they come from God. They're valuable because God knows what is best for us. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above, and in him there is no change and no shifting shadow. Beloved, when God gives you a gift, you should desire it. When God gives you a gift, you should want it simply because it comes from Almighty God. And we can't comprehend the value of the gifts. We can't comprehend their full use or all the ways that God intends for us to use them. But beloved, they are of immense value beyond anything that we can imagine. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for all the many years, and we thank you again for supporting this ministry. We have projects going in Africa. We'd love to have your support. We have radio broadcasts continuing here in America, and we'd love to have your support for that. And so we would appreciate you sitting down today. Contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Make a contribution. Make a commitment to pray for us, and we would appreciate it. The Lord will bless you, and we will be blessed. The children in Africa will be blessed. And so do that today. Make a commitment to push this ministry forward around the world in the name of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.